Got it. Here we go. Write to us at MyNorthWest.com. Text as well. Come on in, everybody. Do love to hear from you, from just about everybody. Jack Stein sitting in, and the president.
I sit on the stand. And it get hot. I got a lot of. I got hairy legs.
I got hairy legs.
That turn blonde in the sun.
Yeah, diving into the news. I used to be so jealous of those guys. His legs turned blonde in the sun. Rich Ashburn, who played for the Philadelphia Phillies, was a great baseball player. I think he might also played for the Yankees. Richie Ashburn and his son, Richie Ashburn and Johnny Ashburn, also known as Johnny Ash Rash Hash, smokes a lot of hash. That was a rhyme we came up with back then. His legs used to turn blonde in the summer as well. Just naming some kids who I didn't like growing up. All right, Jackson, you want to throw a name out of somebody you didn't like as well growing up?
Oh, I like everybody, John. I'm a nice guy, you see? And I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus on national radio. I mean, come on now, John Curley.
Well, you're not even on national radio, so it's
I
all
like
right.
to imagine. I like to see, John, this is a
come difference. On, there's going to be, I'll give you a first name of somebody you didn't like in high school. Come on, Jack.
We're actually international radio.
Yes, that's true.
Our podcast is listened to in Nigeria, as we often discuss.
You're number
Thanks.
74 there in
Thanks,
Nigeria.
Thanks, Jacob.
With a
well,
bullet.
There was a guy in high school, his name was John, that there I didn't go. Particularly, I didn't like that guy.
Believe it. Wow, spellbinding story. Let's see. Cleveland has decided it's going to change the name from Indians to Guardians. By the way, you've got to get drops when they went out on the street and ask people what they thought about it. This is after the 2021 season. This is the Tom Hanks. Oh, my God.
We are a city on the rise. Forging into the future from our ironed out past.
Tom, hold on a second. Have you ever been to Cleveland?
Tom Hanks? Yeah.
No, you, not you, oh. Jack. Tom Hanks. Tom, you ever been there?
We are a city of fire and water.
Yep, that's because the lake catches on fire. You are. The water caught on fire in Cleveland, right? Wasn't it one of the lakes or one of the rivers? Yeah, yeah. So you are a city of fire and water.
Of trees and towers, built through generations of blue collars and the brightest scholars, and all of those who have worked harder. We hold tight to our roots and set our sights on tomorrow. And this is our team that has stood with our city for more than a century, from Old Municipal to the corner of Carnegie. A team that has seen its own progress and prosperity. Its history flows like the river through the heart of this city. A history that has given us miraculous moments. Moments that spanned years and others 22 games. Moments that broke barriers and moments that broke hearts. Moments that prove this is more than a game.
We are talking about baseball here, aren't we?
Yeah, that's
we
way
remember
too much.
Those moments as we move forward with change.
Uh-oh.
You see,
uh-oh.
It has always been Cleveland that's the best part of our name.
Oh, no.
And now it's time to unite as one family, one community, to build the next era for this team and
what
this
is
city.
Hold on. It goes on 9 more minutes. This gives us not have to talk about anything else.
To keep watch and guard what makes this game the greatest. To come together and welcome.
See, guard. We guard. We're guarding what makes this great. This game great.
From all who want to join us, we are loyal and proud and resilient. We protect what we've earned and always defend it. Together, we stand with all who understand what it means to be born and built from the land. Because this is a city we love.
Okay, I can't take any more. There's only 10 more seconds. That is the Tom Hanks letting everybody know that they've decided to change the name, the Cleveland Indians, to the Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah,
so,
but it's like a cut from like a Michael Bay trailer. It's way too over the top. It's really pretentious. It's very conceited. And it's the emotional element of it is way too heightened. In my humble opinion, John Curley, the whole Guardians thing, they should have gone with something so innocuous that was so bad that nobody could object to it. And I have the perfect name for them.
Okay, what would that be?
This is not a joke. I think they should have referred to themselves as the Cleveland Corns. It's not a joke. I think if they went out on the field and they had little corns, like a corn on the cob on the
not
shirt.
Not a joke.
Not a joke?
Not a joke.
Not a joke?
It's not a joke. Because in this day and age, everyone's going to find something wrong with Guardians, Mariners.
Are you joking?
I'm not joking.
Wait, the Cleveland Corns. Why yeah. corn?
Well, because, you know, there's corn in Ohio. But it's pretty basic. I think that if we take everything back down to its the level of a kindergartner, no one can get offended. So instead of the Boston Red Sox, it would be the Boston Beans, right? We just make everything so stupid and so dumbed down that no one can get offended ever again, John.
I love all the names of those teams in the minor league stuff, right? They always have like the lint bugs and things like that. It's like what
exactly?
You know, right, that kind of thing. But no, they had to go with the Guardian. By the way, that is Tom Hanks' view of Cleveland. Here is the tourism video and ad that they have for Cleveland.
Fun times in Cleveland again.
Still Cleveland.
Come on down to Cleveland Town, everyone. Under construction since 1868. See our river that catches on fire. Don't slow down in East Cleveland or you'll die. Our economy's based on LeBron James. Buy a house for the price of a VCR. It could be worse, though. At least we're not Detroit.
Wow.
Cleveland is one of the least safe cities in the nation, by the way. All right. Well, they have decided to change the name. I'm sure that'll do a lot. I know that Brian Buckaloo, Bitter Brian Buckaloo, used to produce this show. He was a fan of the Cleveland Indians, and he would always say that Chief Wahoo was the most, you know, unbelievably racist guy you could possibly imagine. Yes. Well, they phased him out. And then they asked a bunch of people what they thought about the whole thing. People in Cleveland, they aren't going to like it, but the change happens. And here we go. So now we're just waiting for the Washington Redskins to get their official name as well. So this is the sports roundup. Last word on Cleveland and the new name. You want to still have them called the Corn?
Well, I think they just should have stuck it out, John. I think they just should have rolled with it. I think that despite all of the hate, they should
rolled
just
with it.
just kept the name. I mean, you're the Cleveland Indians. You've always been the Cleveland Indians. There's nothing wrong with it. This capitulation to a small group of people out there who are upset about what's the guy, Chief Wahoo or whatever it is. Yeah. What difference does it make? I could be offended by anything, John. I mean, the way that we've done things now in society is we have determined that we have to start with the most obvious of offenses and then work our way down. Hence, if you name it something as innocuous as corn, the Cleveland Corns, there is no possibility for any kind of anybody getting upset or protests or thinking that they live in a racist city.
Oh, I see. Okay. So a vegetable that is primarily served to pigs. Got it. Tokyo Olympics opened with Naomi Osaka lighting the cauldron, and apparently all the glitz and glamour was gone. They didn't do much because there wasn't anybody there to really enjoy it. And she lights. Do we have any sound of her lighting it? Is there anything, Jacob?
It's a fairly visual experience. You know,
no, I thought me here like with right. the Bic lighter, the constant rolling the little thing through the finger. All right. And that's it. That she lights the thing and off they go. This is the beginning of the Olympics. I have no idea what's happening in it other than the fact that parents aren't allowed to come. Spectators are not part of it. A lot of sponsors spent tons and tons of money, and this is going to be a complete and absolute washout for Tokyo, unfortunately.
It's pretty cringe. The stadiums are empty. Have you seen any of the pictures of what it actually looks like in the arena or in these gymnast events or anything like that, John?
No, nothing. And I think it's so sad. It's so
sad.
These athletes that have been training for this or caring about this or dreaming about this since the time they were a little kid. And now here they are. I hope they let the parents in. I'd seen that one story was done that the mom wasn't allowed to come in, but to cheer on her daughter or son. But, and they also believe that the fact that there are not spectators could actually have an effect upon the performance of the athletes. You're running the half mile or the mile or the quarter and you can hear the people and hear them cheer, and that helps to have somebody kind of cheer you on so that they might actually have the times be a little less. And that'll be interesting to see if that actually turns out to be the case, how much crowd influence and how much cheering actually helps you while you're competing for the gold there in Tokyo or any other place. The fact that the The critical race theory is now not going to be offered there in the Peninsula School District. And if you had attended the school board, you're now up on YouTube and 115 people have had a chance to watch.
There will be no additional or modified student curriculum, including critical race theory or instruction in response to Senate Bill 5044, as it does not mention or require additional instruction for students. The district will continue to teach a complete and accurate history that is inclusive and without bias. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? It's been approved 5-0.
That is the Peninsula School Board President David Olson, who obviously didn't do a vocal warm-up ahead of time, announcing the resolution regarding critical race theory.
John, do you know what critical race theory is?
Are you familiar with it? I do. I'm going to give you one more little cut here. Hang on.
I believe the question is, why this resolution and why now? There is something behind it that hasn't been said, and I'd like the answer to that question. As a mom of a student of color who attended our schools, Peninsula High School in particular, the resolution is saying to me that maybe our kids of color don't matter. There's not a lot of us, and we're not going anywhere. So I need to know that we matter.
I ask that the board not cave to these special interest groups. I and many who are here tonight are also part of this Peninsula community, and we don't want to be silenced or railroaded by the radicals who have fallen for a manufactured campaign against a theory that isn't even taught in our schools.
72% of our nation's history has occurred under slavery or Jim Crow, and this resolution wants to ignore 72%.
Always use percentages if you want to win arguments. All right, that is from the people who were opposed to it there in Peninsula School Board. A lot of people saying the critical race theory is nothing more than a concept that was being taught in as legal in school in law school. And all of this is astroturfed by a small group of conservatives that want to use this as an issue to try to win in 2022, Jack.
Ooh. Well, John, so I studied CRT for a couple of semesters in college. Mm-hmm. CRT is this heady academic thing where we're talking about French Algiers and we're talking mm-hmm. about Franz Fanon and we're talking about Karl Marx and we're talking about economic systems that benefit white people over black people. It is so abstract that the idea that you would be teaching that to a 5-year or a 6-year old, it does not happen. That's not CRT. But what they are teaching kids, John, is kind mm-hmm. of a it's kind of a weird alternative version of it, where they take some of the beats of what CRT represents, or the way that we could use critical race theory as a lens. They take some of the beats of it, and then they say, okay, well, let's look at the internment of Japanese people during World War II, and let's equate that to white supremacy. Or let's look at Jim Crow, and let's look at the preceding events and equate that to, the United States. Mm-hmm. And so when we go around and we say, this is CRT, this is CRT, this is CRT, we sound like fools, because it's not really CRT. Mm-hmm. It's some weird alternative version that I think is closer to the 1619 project than it is to CRT.
Uh-huh. The argument that is put forth by the left, and Tom says it as well, that this is just all hype. And people will say that it is a legal theory. And you're right. You look at it going back to the 1920s and the Frankfurt School. Marx also pushed it along, saying one group of people it's irreputable. Like, there's nothing you can do.
Exactly.
But it's built right into the DNA that you are the oppressor and you are the oppressed. That there, you can do whatever you can possibly do. You can write as many laws, but it doesn't matter. It's almost like the air that you breathe and a virus that comes out of you that you have no way of controlling. So therefore, if you have the people that are pushing CRT in the schools, it's a way of saying, make the person aware of their superiority or their feeling of superiority so much so that they try to check it as best they can, but even checking it isn't possibly enough. So therefore, any sort of divergence between one grade and another grade, one white kid getting this grade and one Asian kid getting this grade and a black kid getting this grade, the reason there's a difference in there is because the system itself has been created by white people who are, by very nature being white, oppressing, whether consciously or unconsciously, everybody else.
Yeah. That's exactly
okay.
right. Yep.
Okay.
So, but you also got to sprinkle in some Hegelian philosophy in there as well, John. And then you also have to go you know, back to essences and what whiteness really
means.
Wow,
you really
did.
Look at you showing off. Wow, yeah, I'm surprised you're going to ask, hey, aren't you going to give us a quiz before you let us go on Friday? But you're that kid in the front row? Yeah. And so teach some kid, hey, listen, you should feel bad that your color of your skin is this. Well, I think the greatest damage that you can do to any kid is to tell them that they can't succeed because of what happened and what has happened now. And if you tell the kid, everything is stacked against you and don't expect to do well because everyone is out to get you. I think that's far more damaging than believing that the world is white supremacist and that they're doing something against these kids. And to lower the bar and to say, well, you don't have to try as hard because the whole world is against you because the world is oppressing you. You are hobbling that kid's spirit, much like they hobbled runaway slaves that wanted to be free. Why can't you tell the kid you can be whatever you want to be? And you know what? Fight against it if you can. And by the way, the reason an Asian kid is getting all A's is most Asian kids, when they were surveyed in 2018, spend at least 2.5 to 3.5 hours doing homework. White kids do maybe, if they're not lying, they say an hour. And when they ask the black kids, they're like, yeah, maybe 20, 25 minutes. Well, there you go. Now, has white society oppressed the kid to not do the homework? Why does the one group do better than the other group? Is that because the system is racist? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, this is such a heavy conversation to get into, John, in 30 seconds. But what I will say is this. I don't like this stuff being taught to kids. I think it's really gross. But when I was in college, it was a lot more easy to contextualize it because you're 20-something years old and you're smoking a bunch of dope and you're trying to figure out the world. For a 12-year-old, there's no way that you could possibly look at the nuances of that argument and understand it.
Wow.
That was really a productive segment, wasn't it?
Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you. Thanks, Joe
All
Biden.
Right. Josh Kearns, can you imagine that? People in their 20s smoking dope?
No. When they get to their 50s, then we have a problem.
Here you go, Keel Mortgage. Keel Mortgage are the ones to call. They'll take good care of you. In fact, if you want a reverse mortgage, Laura Keel is a complete expert. There's very few people that know as much about reverse mortgage as Laura Keel does.
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
Not
That's
a
right,
joke.
Joe. Not a joke. Not a joke. You get in touch with them 1-888-778-KIEL. It's Keel Mortgage. You want to refinance, it's Keel Mortgage. That is they are the ones to call. Laura Keel and everybody.
I'm not joking.
He's not joking. All right. I love just how Joe does that sort of stuff. Have you noticed when he does that, it's a way of sort of, because he's lost his sort of train of thought.
Yes.
So he throws in a lot of, seriously.
Yeah. I was talking about that last night with his town hall meeting where he was trying to throw in terms and conceptions, but it ended up being this word salad that was kind of like a mix of it's almost like some spinach and some kale and some like really high value raisins or something like that. And then there's like some croutons from Safeway.
Yeah. Well, listen, Tom, I said to Tom yesterday, you mean to tell me you could sit there, because he does sit, and the Joe Biden isn't losing it, that he can't put words together and he doesn't lose his train of thought? And he absolutely not. And then I thought, you know, that's what he said. And I'm like, listen, as long as the guy says this,
play the radio,
then I'm all in. Here we go. Desperate. This has to be the most uncomfortable call. Desperate employers are calling job applicants from years ago. Can you imagine? You filled out that thing, it's sitting in some sort of file, and they're like, oh, we're desperate. Hey, Doug, get on the line, call some of those people. So you looked at the person filled out the application in like 2017, and you have to call them and get them on the phone. Yeah, hey, we're just getting back to you now. What are the reactions from the people that are getting the calls?
Well, I mean, John, how do you think I got this job, right?
Yes,
I mean,
right. You applied back in 2015.
Yeah, years ago. And then Brian, out of nowhere, he said, hey, you know, we were just going through the filing cabinet, right, and I noticed your name popped up. Any chance you could do Friday with John Curley?
Yeah.
I talked about this with Tariq Ansari, board op producer here at Cairo. He's a Zoomer. And he thought that this was actually pretty cringy. He thought that this was pretty bad of employers to do. But I actually thought it was pretty based. I think for employers to go out and take the initiative in this kind of if we're advocates for free markets, this is totally cool. You call them up and you say, hey, listen, couple years back, we were going to pass, but now upon review, the fact that, you know, you worked at your local Boys and Girls Club snack shack, I think it would be great for you to come work at McDonald's.
Yes. And the person, most of the answers are, I've kind of moved on from there. So, I'm not really interested in that. My brother applied at the Swordfish Cafe, and so did I. We both got the jobs, both got hired. Fine. The one brother hired me, the other brother hired Chuck. Then I get a call about 3 days before I'm supposed to start from some manager saying, listen, they don't need you. And I find out later on that what had happened was the one brother that had made all the hires, apparently all of his hires were horrible. All the other brother's hires, that was my brother's, got hired by that guy. All of them turned out to be great. So then they decided the guy, that terrible brother, all of his hires must not come in. So they called me 3 days before and basically said, we don't want you. And my brother explained that because the guy was such a bad judge of character, they just wiped the board clean. Didn't hire any of those guys, but hired all the other people hired by the other brother. And then I spent the entire summer at the, what was the name of the place? I was the parking lot attendant. I sat on a beach chair on the black pavement of the Stingray Hotel, and there was a sign out front, little tiny sign said, parking for hotel guests only. Well, you're steps from the beach, right? Here I am on this little teeny tiny chair, and I have to go, excuse me, are you a hotel guest? Yeah, I'm a hotel guest. And I'm like, okay, all right. And then I sit back down in the chair, and it's New Jersey sun beating down on top of me. I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst. And the heat, you can feel the heat coming up from underneath you. Excuse me, this is for hotel guests. Yeah, that's us, we're hotel guests. And they come out, and they're known as shoobies. A shoobie is a person who carries all their stuff in a shoebox. They don't literally do that, but the idea is that those are people coming in just for the day. There was not one, and then the manager comes out, what are you doing? This is for hotel guest parking only. I said, no one seems to have any respect.
What accent was that, John?
That's New Jersey. And the guy's like, you can't have them park here. Why are they parking here? I said, I don't know. They're not listening. You know what I'm going to get you? And you already got me? A whistle. Oh, yeah. That'll stop people. A whistle. So I started like a lifeguard. Car pulls up. Whoa, this is for hotel guests only. Yeah, that's us. What are you going to do with it? Oh, my God. It was the worst summer ever. I think I got more skin cancer from those 3 months on the parking lot of the Stingray Hotel, and not one person paid any attention to me, even with the whistle.
Did you have the confidence in your voice then that you have now, or was it a little bit more timid and a little bit more, kind of, maybe, are you guys?
Maybe, sort of, this is for hotel guests only.
Excuse me, this is for hotel guests, so super sorry to bug you guys and everything like that,
right.
But I just...
plus, that's when the super duper heavy sunscreen came out, the stuff that looked like aluminum siding. So I had that white stuff all over face, because I'm Irish and I burn really badly. So I would put that on. So I look like a ghost, and then I had it on my arms, and you could see where it was all sort of streaky, and I was all sweaty, and my hair was down on my face, and I had a whistle. Yeah, and I'm like, excuse me.
So you looked like Joan Crawford, kind of, in Mommy Dearest?
All wire hangers for hotel guests only. Yeah, that was the that's because the Swordfish Cafe hired Chuck and not me, because the one brother didn't know how to hire proper people. So if you will be getting a call from me right now from any restaurants, they are so desperate. In fact, it was a friend of mine told me went to eat at that restaurant in Bellevue, the Mexican joint that's next to Bellevue Square. They said you have to an hour and a half wait. We only have three waiters on staff. So
wow.
Yeah, so he was sitting at home, and then they text him, okay, come on in. And then he drove in to go eat there. It is unbelievable. If you have been in a hotel that doesn't serve room service, the bar is not open, or you go to a restaurant and the service is so slow because they simply don't have enough staff. But you can get a job at the Swordfish Cafe or the Stingray Hotel. Ask for my whistle. I think they have it hanging in the lobby. All right, Josh Kearns. Here we go. Tom out on a Friday. Jack Stein, thanks for filling in. Sherry out as well. Everybody enjoying the summer, hopefully. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com. You can text as well as 98973. I am a big fan of Jack's show. It follows our show at 7 o'clock, Cairo Nights. By the way, you had some guy on yesterday. Is that some guy you normally argue with?
Which one? Which is at 8:30?
Some crazy, angry liberal guy kept insulting
people. Oh, yeah, Billy.
People.
Yeah, Billy is he's a total degenerate. He's a terrible human being, and he's a liberal menace. He's the definition of a coastal elite, and so I have him on so that I can give people a view of what it actually means to talk to a coastal elite, not this phantom, not what Tucker Carlson says it is, but in the flesh, you know, millions of dollars in the bank, lives in a you know, coastal mansion in California. His horrible thoughts about the United States every single night at 8:30.
And that's not a character. That was a real guy with those real.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, listen, that fits in nicely with the topic of, is it possible to really be too nice? I would say he is not. He is a really deplorable individual.
Yeah, he's a terrible human.
Is it possible to be too nice? We always know that nice guys finish last. Is it, as you've seen then in this article, explaining that too nice might actually backfire on you?
Yeah, but I don't see. I'm a nice guy, John. You know this. I know this.
You are
not a nice guy. You are a likable guy. See, there's a huge difference between the two. See, people take advantage of me, and that's how I end up, you know, doing I don't know, two radio shows in a day, or you know, working. or you know, working the 16-hour days that I do. What caught my interest though was if you scroll down, there's an actual scale that they have. They have a test on this thing, John. I don't know if you saw this, but you can actually test yourself to see how you rate yourself on the following items. Would you be interested in taking this?
Let me say this. I know that you can be too nice and that people take advantage of you. I think nice is being aware of yourself and aware of other people and being as empathetic as you can possibly be to someone else so that you can use your imagination to imagine yourself in their shoes. And then you extend generosity and charity and kindness and thoughtfulness to them. Now, does that make you too nice, or what is the definition of nice? Is it somebody that is like a famous line from House of Cards when it came to vice presidents? You're either a doormat or a matador.
Right. Yeah.
Which one am I? Right. So in this case, are nice people just doormats? Like Jacob to me is nice, and he's like a doormat. So, you know, is that a good thing? But he's a good doormat. He's a nice doormat. No.
He's like a, you know, he's like a bejeweled doormat. It's kind of shiny and very nice.
All are welcome. No, honestly, is it because somebody is too afraid to sort of stand up for their own self? Is it a spinelessness that goes with it?
Yeah, I think so. Because I have that in me. I have that. It's kind of innate within me to want to be a likable, nice guy. I don't really want to, you know, ruffle the boat at all, ruffle any feathers, or rock the boat at all. Yeah. So I will go out of my way to do things for people so that people are like, oh, yeah, Jack's a great guy. Jack's a really nice guy. And then I just push all that resentment down, John. I just push it all down. And then I run. As like when you called me yesterday,
ran you were running.
2 miles in like 12 minutes. I just scream the entire time. I just scream and run.
And your hands are out in front of you. Well, it's not like, for instance, so that is insecurity. That's not niceness. I actually said something once to my therapist that stunned him, and he was silent for about 10 seconds. And I had to go over and start to do CPR. I told him I lived in New York City. I would get on an elevator, and I never wanted to inconvenience anyone. So if 13 was the top floor, I would not, and I wanted to go to like 20, I wouldn't push 20 if there are other people that want to go higher, because I didn't want to make the elevator stop and wait for me. He goes, "What'd you do?" I said, "Well, I'd get off at the floor closest to me and walk up or walk down, because I didn't want to inconvenience people." He's like, "Wow."
Yeah.
Wow. We are now. Do I see you again next week? Can we make that tomorrow at 11 o'clock? Wow. I stunned him with that one. But that's not nice. That is some type of neurotic insecurity, right?
Yeah, that's like me. It's neuroses and deeply, just deeply neurotic and scream running.
But it also goes back to Sister Honora, who in fifth grade, if you raised your hand and said you had to go to the bathroom, you got up and went to the bathroom, she would talk about you while you were out of the room.
Oh, no.
I think that's what it was. Everything goes back to the nuns. God love them. Right, Josh Kearns?
You're darn tootin', John. Your Catholic school upbringing has served you well, my friend.